You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
In December, it was reported by Child Poverty Action Group that ethical lending schemes should be a model for adoption nationwide. They reference Ngā Tangata Microfinance, a not-for-profit organisation designed as an alternative to the more merciless loan shark-type models of lending companies. Loan sharks often force families into an endless cycle of debt. Ngā Tangata Microfinance, on the other hand, provide no-interest loans to qualifying clients for family well-being and relief from high-interest debt. A report from the organisation says this type of loan has improved people's well-being and reduced stress. It is estimated the loans have saved recipients collectively over $1 million in interest and other charges. I managed to speak with Robert Choi, the executive officer of the organisation, and started by asking what exactly Ngā Tangata Microfinance was.
Ngā Tangata Microfinance is a microfinance organisation, and we provide nil-interest loans for those on low incomes. Basically safe, fair and affordable loans as an alternative to the fringe lenders, the third tier lenders that are out there that are highly predatory. And we also provide loans that are for family well-being and for building assets within the family, so that such as a washing machine, fridge, furniture, anything under the broad definition of well-being can be covered. But the key, loan type that we provide is around addressing the high interest debt that I mentioned.
When you say high interest debt, how do people get into that sort of situation?
We really focus on supporting people on low incomes, and the reality for most people on low income is that they often do not have many or any savings or reserves, so that when a situation, an event, you know, life happens, the car breaks down, children are sick, the fridge doesn't work, they are forced to look for sources of income. And if they don't have any, if they don't have options to be able to borrow from whānau or access work and income support, then often the only alternative is to go to a third-tier lender who quickly ensnares them in a loan that might seem easy to repay to start with, but basically you're paying off a lot of the interest and very little of the principal, so it can very quickly escalate and become a huge mountain of debt. So it's really targeting those on low incomes, and that we're really trying to assist and support, help them get a way out of that situation and into a sense of financial independence, and alongside the budgeting services that we partner with, because that's our main way of working, we support the whole idea of building financial literacy, building financial capability, as it's called now, in clients, so that they basically have input and support from a budgeter to not only help them with their finances practically, but also to give them the education and support and guidance and just a listening ear often if they do strike difficulties in their financial area on an ongoing basis.
More generally, do you think there is a lack of access to financial literacy skills?
It's certainly growing and probably accelerated a lot with the Commission for Financial Capability. And there's a lot more in schools and in workplaces now. So it's certainly increased, I think, in the last 2 or 3 years especially. I think there's also room for a lot more. My personal view is that often when people at a juncture in their life, we listen more to advice around financial matters than we might do when we're at the other situations, such as getting a new job, moving from home, a change in getting married, or any life events, saving for a home, moving into a flat. Those types of situations are when people are more open to learning about finances, and we'd love to be able to see ways that financial literacy education could be tailored and be available for people in those situations. So I think there's a lot that's been done, but certainly a lot more can be done. And also the budgeting services that who have budgeting advisors who work with clients are also undertaking a lot more now. But again, I think there's still a lot more scope and growth in that area that could be done and needed.
How long has Ngā Tangata been around?
We started in 2010, and we started providing loans that were really just for the family well-being asset building side, but soon realised that from the demand that budgeters presented to us, that really we had to provide a product that would address the high interest debt that most clients, or a lot of clients who come into budgeting services, have. So we've been around since that time, but we've really been able to grow the last 3 years because we've had support from a philanthropic trust, J.R. McKenzie, and also Kiwi Bank have been very supportive from our very beginning in terms of providing the capital that we have and are able to revolve, so that as clients repay us, we're able to then lend that on to others. So it's a real strong community fund that's a key part of our kaupapa, that it's community money and really there to assist those on low incomes in the community.
That's quite an important aspect, right, in terms of building those relationships and having that as a model for something that can be quite, I suppose, dividing money.
Yes, that's right. I mean, often people are under a lot of stress and a lot of family issues, dare I say violence, and they talk about money being, you know, one of the key causes of domestic violence or lacking harmony within the family, the whānau. And we found that in our evaluation of late, that we did an extensive evaluation of quite a large number of our clients, and over 80% of them fed back that they felt that the loan really helped them in the sense of well-being, mental health, reducing stress at a very significant level. So that was a huge, as you say, money can be very divisive, and so having something like our loans that's able to relieve that stress is hugely beneficial.
With the Majority Pākehā organisation, what was your motivation in choosing a Māori name?
I guess we wanted to communicate in Māori language the sense that microfinance was for all, and while we're not a kaupapa Māori organisation as such, I feel that we have and adhere to the principles or the values of kaupapa Māori. The whole sense of whānau ngā tangata, ngā tanga, is basically around the whole sense of relationships and respect, and also that sense of self-determination and independence for our clients. We're also an organisation that perhaps is in the back office or the background, because we work through budgeting advisors, so we don't, on a normal day-to-day basis, don't interact directly with our clients. While we don't have Māori within our organisation, we have that within our trustees, and we feel that we adhere to the values and principles of kaupapa Māori in terms of what we do, or at least aspire to, I should say.
And what are you hoping to achieve in the future?
Well, we've been growing steadily. Well, certainly last year, a 30% increase. So we've been able to expand our services through many parts of the North Island and a few parts in the South Island, about 35 to 40 services. So we'd love to be able to continue that expansion. There's over 200 plus services, budgeting services, throughout Aotearoa, and we'd love to be able to extend that service to more. So that's one thing, to be able to develop and provide our loans to more and more people in low-income communities. We'd also like to look at ways that we could work with other types of services, social services, housing, employment, where we feel that our loans can be really helpful for those people in those situations going forward. So it's not just those budgeting service clients, but really those as a key part of the wraparound services that social services provide. So we're looking at the whole area of housing of late, and just trying to work with more organisations so that our loans can be available and accessible, as well as potentially also growing our loan product, the loan up to $3,000 for the debt relief loan. I'd love to be able to increase that because people often do come with higher debt situation than what we can provide for, so moving that up, and just looking at ways that we could be more community-centred, building loan committees within communities that can also assess the applications at a community level, so that the financial situation of those in the community is better known by those who live in the community. So really being able to have microfinance as something that's community embedded as opposed to just something that's delivered from, you know, a centre, which is probably how we are more now. I'd love to be able to look at group lending as well, which has been very successful overseas. So and also savings products to go alongside our loans. So lots of areas to be able to go forward with. Another key part of our work is really advocating for a safe and fair credit environment. So while we provide our loans, we also have been advocating through press releases, through media, for primarily an interest rate or cost of credit cap. And we're very excited to be able to see after some years of doing this that there's a possibility that this might be coming about with the new government. So it's not only the loans, but also the advocacy, so that all those on low incomes, whether they access our loans or not, can be inside a society that is more financially just, socially just, and allows them to not be subject to those predatory lenders that are there and can take advantage of them.
On another note, I just am curious, have you received any sort of criticism for being, you know, the brown face of capitalism?
The brown face of capitalism.
Well, putting this kind of cover,
yes,
of manaakitanga or whatever it may be over something that is so inherently built into that economic system?
No, we haven't had any criticism of that. I suppose what our aim as we go forward is to make, while our loans are economically based, it doesn't mean that they, and the way that they're centrally delivered through budgeting services is a model that we felt was helpful and useful and has been very powerful, doesn't mean that that model would continue forever. And so integrating that within different ethnic groups within society as it exists at a community level would be a real aim to be able to achieve, which has been successful, really successful overseas. So I'm not sure whether that answers your question, but it's not that we desire to impose a model on the communities, but we want to adapt it, but we've had to start from where we've had to start and thus develop as we go.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.